John chapter 8, verse 39. Our Savior is having a conversation with some religious Jews. And in verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Our father is Abraham. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the work of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the works of your father. They said unto him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I came forth and am come from God, for neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Now chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In chapter 21, verse 16, our Savior is speaking to Simon Peter, and in the midst of the conversation, he says to him again a second time, Simon, Son of John, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And I will quote another verse to you from Corinthians that says, If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Anathema. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, there is no doubt to us that thy word is light from heaven for our darkened souls. What light have we unless thou didst place the sun in the heavens? And what light for our souls have we unless thou hast placed thy word in our hands? We thank you for light. Did not thy Son say, I am the light of the world? We have read words that thy Son, who is light, spoke. We pray that by thy Spirit we shall receive them as light from heaven, that we shall know that he is thy spokesman, that we shall reverence him and trust him as such. And so by thy Spirit accomplish this, and empower, and we confess our sins, as thou hast promised. Be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Bless us this day, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. By now, there should be no doubt that Jesus loves you. I've shown you from the scriptures that, as they teach, God so loved the world, so the scriptures teach that as the Father loves you, so the Son loves you. There is no doubt that Jesus loves you. But in all these scriptures I have read today, there is ever so much doubt as to whether you love Jesus. You love Jesus? You say, oh, I certainly do. Well, you say it, but as with Christians, so with the world, there is ever so much talk in the world, so much pretension, so much boasting, so much hypocrisy. And for that very reason, I have read you these scriptures from the Word of God, and all of them place uncertainty and doubt about your love for Jesus. And so you may be a professed Christian, but the Lord Jesus does not take you at your word. Do you realize that? in all the scriptures that you heard, there was an element of doubt. There is a protestation when Jesus suggests that what men say may not be true. But then the Lord Jesus says this, if you were children of Abraham, you would do the work of Abraham. You see that? They said, we have Abraham to our father. The Lord Jesus said, if you were children of Abraham, you would do the work of Abraham. They said it. The Lord Jesus said, if you were. In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus is speaking about sonship, and the Jews say, God is our father. The Lord Jesus said, if God were your father. In John chapter 14, speaking to his apostles, he says, if you love me. And to the one with whom we are most familiar, the apostle Peter, in chapter 21, he says, Simon, do you love me? And so do you think I'm going to take your word if you come and say, I love Jesus, when the Savior did not take the word of his own people? He did not accept the word of his apostles. He did not accept the word of Peter. I'm just to believe you when you say, I love Jesus. The Savior never accepts empty words. In fact, speaking of the last day, he is going to say that all of this talk that has gone on in the world is going to be repeated when men stand before him. In that day, they shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, you see, they're still saying it. And the Savior is going to say, I never knew you. And so the world is filled with talk now, and at the great white throne, men are still going to be speaking empty words to the Savior, but the Savior does not accept your words, and he does not accept your protestations of faith in him, because he looks inwardly, and he looks outwardly, and if you pass the test that he gives, then he will accept it. But until then, he says, if. Do not think it strange. It was this way from the very beginning of Christ's ministry. It said that when he was at the Passover during the feast, he performed many miracles. And it says, when he did this, many believed on his name, seeing the miracles which he performed. But it said he did not trust himself to them, for he knew all men, and he knew what was in man. Now, has the picture been painted before you? No matter what you say about the Lord Jesus does not accept what you say. The Lord Jesus puts you to a test. And if you pass the test, he says, yes. And if you fail the test, he says, no. It does not make any difference if you are related to the Lord Jesus Christ by physical ties. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. It makes no difference if you are familiar with the scriptures in a way that the world knows not. The Lord Jesus hears you speaking, but the Savior speaks the truth. And so in all of these instances, in one sense, it is frightening that all of these people that are saying, we believe in you, God is our Father, we're descendants of Abraham, all of these people telling the Lord Jesus these encouraging words as far as the natural ear can hear. But in not one case did the Lord Jesus believe them. And so do you think that all of you are going to heaven just because you say, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. Do you think that's going to be enough to get you to heaven? Why, tell it to God when you stand before the great white throne. Lord, Lord. Doesn't the Bible say that if you confess him as Lord, you'll be saved? So there is a difference between things that we say that are empty and things that we say that are true. And God tests them all. And so you had better remember these tests. Because having told you this and given you ample illustration, then what you say is not going to suffice to get you into the kingdom of God. It is not profession, it is reality. And that alone will get a man into heaven. And reality is something that can only come from God. And so let's see these conversations that the Lord Jesus has and understand his looking into the heart of man and the conclusions which he reaches. He tells us this, that there was a sharp distinction between natural and physical descent and divine and spiritual descent. When the Jews said to the Lord Jesus, "We be Abraham's seed," the Lord Jesus did not deny it. But he said, "If you were Abraham's children," they did not understand that there was Abraham in a twofold sense. There was Abraham, the son of Terah, and there was Abraham, the friend of God. Do you see the difference? Abraham, the natural man, and then Abraham, the spiritual man. And when they said, "We have Abraham to our father," the Lord Jesus never denied it. They could trace their genealogy back to Abraham, and the Lord Jesus did not deny it. But that's not what he was looking for. He said, if Abraham were your father, if you were children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. Well, what is the difference? He is speaking of natural descent and spiritual descent. Yes, you are descended from Abraham the man, but you are not descended spiritually from Abraham the friend of God. And this is what they fail to understand. And then, when it began to register upon their blinded minds what he was saying, they said, "We have one Father, God." And the Lord Jesus said, "If God were your Father, you would love me." But the Savior himself would not deny any more than Paul about their being as to their origin of God. It was God who took them as slaves out of Egypt. It was God who made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai. And so, yes, they could say, God is our Father. No doubt. Paul, in telling the advantages of being a Jew, he confesses that they have the covenant, they have the promises, they have the oracles of God. He does not deny that. But there are the physical children of God, and then there are the spiritual children of God. And Paul goes further in 1 Corinthians 10, and he tells of all their advantages that were theirs when they came out of Egypt. But he said, with most of them, God was not well pleased. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And so God makes a distinction between those that happened to be living in Egypt, physical descendants of Abraham, that were taken of God out of Egypt, and those with whom he was well pleased, those that had the physical privileges mixed with faith. The word of hearing did some no good because it was not mixed with faith, but the others did have faith, and they were those who were truly children of God. And so this morning, you say, "I'm of God," I would not doubt it. No doubt that you're of God in the sense that you accept the Bible as Scripture, you accept the teachings that your father and mother told you. No doubt about that. And there may be no doubt that you could say, "I am descended from some great spiritual man." Those that descended from John Calvin or Knox or Luther or some other great man, the Lord Jesus would never deny that. But nothing physical can impart to you the spiritual regeneration. This is something that has to come from God. And the Jews were leaning upon their physical descent and the privileges that were theirs in being chosen of God out of Egypt to be delivered from slavery, thinking that this physical descent and this physical deliverance were equivalent to spiritual descent and spiritual deliverance. But They are only illustrations, and this is what Christians can't see. If I spoke of the children of God, typically I would speak of the Israelites as they came out of Egypt, and typically all of them were children of God. But in reality, only a few were children of God. Out of all the multitude that came out of Egypt, two entered the promised land. Two. And so it does not mean that all those hundreds of thousands that came out were children of God, and yet typically they were. But reality is what God is seeking. And in reality, I know that Joshua and Caleb and Moses were. But as for the rest, well, God alone knows the heart. The Lord Jesus would look at them, and he would not entrust himself to them, because, as the scripture says, he knew all men. He needed not that anybody should testify of men. He knew what was in man. And so when Judas came giving him a kiss, he knew what was in the heart of Judas. And when others were making boastful claims as to their great love for the Lord and what they would do, the Lord Jesus knew whether there was any truth in it. And this morning, all of you who say, I'm a Christian, God is my Father, I love Jesus, the Lord Jesus, who has those eyes of fire, looks into your heart, and he knows whether there is any truth to it. And so you had better ascertain whether there is any truth to it. Because I see the drift of John chapter 8. When the Savior starts speaking to them, they're encouraging words. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Think of that. Here is a man who, if he honestly confesses things as they are, he will say, yes, I am in bondage to sin. There are besetting sins. There are habits. There are things about me that I would like to be freed from. And the Savior said, I am the one who can set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Son shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. And when they heard those words, they said to him, we are Abraham's seed, and we've never been in bondage to any man. That is the danger, that when I tell you that you are a sinner, and it may not be that you love the Lord, you draw yourself up high and say, I've always loved the Lord. I come from a Christian family. Beware when you say that. Beware. Because even Peter, whom we criticized, when the Savior came into his presence, he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. I'm always skeptical of those that are ever so holy and say, I love Jesus. My life is above reproach. Beware of such persons. But if a man smites upon his breast and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, then there is perhaps truth that that man has been saved. But those that boast, and when the Savior speaks about giving you freedom and giving you light, they say, we do not need freedom. We've never been in bondage. We do not need light. We have the light of heaven. We do not need you. The Savior has understood the true condition of your heart, and the true condition of your heart is understood by even one like this, when you talk that way. And so the Savior starts telling them certain things that are true, and you had better remember them, because you could prove to a court of law your physical descent from a man to claim an inheritance. But you have to prove to God your spiritual descent to claim the inheritance of heaven. Do you understand that? It says that God has made us partakers of the inheritance of light. There is an inheritance of earth, and there is an inheritance of light. And the only one from whom you can receive this inheritance is he who has it proved to him that you are God's child. And this is what he says. He says that there must be a moral resemblance to all that make professions of being children of God. Do you have that moral resemblance? He says this. He says, if God were your father, you would love me. Here is the person of Christ that stands in the way of you and heaven. Yes. Stands in the way of you in heaven. You say, but Christ said, I am the way of heaven. Yes, he is the way. And he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And unless you love the Lord Jesus, God is not your Father. That is what he says. And so the first thing is love for the person of Christ. He says, if God were your Father, you would love me. He does not say that God is not your Father. But he says, if God were your Father, you would love me. But then he goes further and says, God is not your Father. Why? Because you're seeking to kill me. It is so evident. Think of that. God is our Father. And they're ready to pick up stones and bludgeon the Lord Jesus Christ to death. But God is our Father. The Lord Jesus said, I didn't see through that. If God were your Father, you would love me. I know who your Father is. You are of your father the devil because you seek to kill me. And this infuriates them. I told you the drift of John chapter 8 is one of light and hope at the first. Christ is going to set you free. But then they say, we do not need freedom. It says that God can be your Father. God is our Father. And finally, at the last, they prove themselves to be of their father the devil by picking up stones, the stone ahead of time, the Lord Jesus, as they ultimately shall put him to death by crucifixion at the end of his ministry. And so remember that. All of you who say, God is my Father, then do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, if God were your Father, you would love me. Now let's listen to these three things. He said in John chapter 14, he said, if a man love me, did you hear that? He said, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And so that means if you love the Lord Jesus, you obey the things that Jesus teaches. Can you say that? Oh, well, I'm talking about this feeling in my heart I have for him. The Savior said, if a man love me, he will keep my word. It is not talk. It is not this sentimental emotion within a man. The Savior says, love is obedience to my word. And so you say, well, I better not speak so quickly about God being my Father and loving the Lord Jesus, because loving the Lord Jesus is keeping his word. That is obedience. And at the same time, he said to Simon, he said, do you love me? He said, you know that I love you. And the Savior said, feed my sheep. What does it mean? It means that love is service. And so will you remember those three things? You say, God is my Father. Then you must love the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I love the Lord Jesus. Then you must keep his word. You say, I love the Lord Jesus. Then you must feed his sheep. You must serve him. You have to love him. You have to obey him. And you have to serve him. Have you done this the past week? You say, well, not so well. Then do not come with great protestations of your love for God and being a child of God, because God is not listening to all the talk that is in the world, and especially among his children and professing Christendom, but he is looking for reality. He is looking for those that love him and those that serve him and those that obey him. And so now answer that question as boldly as before. I love him. I serve him. I tend to the people of God and I obey him. I seek out the truth of God and I obey all of its commands. You say, I'm so glad that salvation is by grace through faith. Tell me about Jesus' love for me. Do not speak to me about the love that he expects of me. But I must, because the Bible says, examine yourselves. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 11, let a man examine himself. Christians do not want to examine themselves. They just want to point to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. But Jesus says, examine yourself. He says, do you love me? I don't want to hear those words. But Jesus says, you must hear those words. Because in the coming days, what a time to examine yourself at the great white throne and to find out there that you do not love him, that God is not your Father. Because then it is too late. Now, if you find it out, you can change. You can repent. This is what the Savior does. He said, I gave them time to repent. Now you may repent if by examining yourself you find out that God is not your Father, that you do not obey Christ, that you do not serve him. Then something can be done about it. And for that reason, I am able now to tell you a most precious truth that I did not have time to tell you the first week. I'm talking about your love for the Lord Jesus. Because all of these scriptures have to do with love for the Lord Jesus. The first week I told you about Jesus' love for men. This week, it's man's love to Jesus. Do you remember that disciple whom Jesus loved? And I told you that if Jesus loves you, then his breast is open for your contentment, for your affection. You may receive from the Lord Jesus Christ his love, and at the same time, you may give him your love. I told you about that. That is one of the privileges of being loved by the Lord Jesus. But there is one that I did not tell you about, and it is this. It is the privilege of caring for Jesus' mother. You say, caring for Jesus' mother, that's a strange thing. It speaks about the disciple whom Jesus loved, and in one of the scenes, it says they were standing by the cross, Jesus' mother and the disciple whom Jesus loved. And Jesus said, woman, behold thy son. And he said to that disciple, behold thy mother. And so the Lord Jesus entrusts to the care of those he loves things that are precious and dear to him. You say, but now you're talking about Jesus' love for man. You said you were going to talk about man's love for Jesus. Yes, I want to show you why. Because they are inseparable. I'll begin to tell you about it now. The Lord Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. If a man loves me, then my Father will love that man. I see. Then if I love, then the Father will love. And if Jesus loves me, I must have loved Jesus. Yes, they're inseparable. And for that reason, I'm going to bring to your attention four things that it says about love, because they are of such great value and they are foundation stones. And it says this. You who say, I love Jesus. Well, if it's so, and there is uncertainty, but if it is so, this is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. It says, we know we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. It says, love buildeth up. It says, if a man loves God, the same is known of him. What an encouragement. You're liable to think that in this world of billions of people, that God somehow does not know that you love him. It says, if a man love God, the same is known of him. Then, if I love God, he is aware of it, and all this confusion and all this multitude of the inhabitants of earth, God knows that I love him. Of course he does. God knows whether you love him. But remember, he knows also whether you have pretended to love him, and it is only pretend. But it says, if a man love me, this is genuine love. It says, he is known of God. All right, that's the first thing. If a man loves God, God loves that man, knows that love, and he loves you as well. Because the Savior said, if a man love me, my Father will love him. And so if God knows of your love, it says the Father will bestow his love upon you. You say, well, praise God. The next thing is this, that if you love God and God loves you, he will entrust to your care things that are dear and precious to him. That is why there are so few responsible Christians, those to whom God can entrust any responsibility, is because their love is so small that God cannot trust you. This is what he says. He says in the Gospel of Luke, he said, if you have not been faithful with the unrighteous mammon, who will commit unto your care true riches? I see. And so if you haven't been faithful in one area, who is going to commit unto your care true riches? Do you think the Lord Jesus would send his mother home with any of you? Are you that sensitive? I've seen some Christians who are indelicate, at times vulgar, They have no sensitivity about the feelings of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, they could have no sensitivity about the mother of the Lord Jesus. Think of this woman that he's committed to the care of John, the beloved disciple. A woman who had a child without a human father. This had to be dealt with. A woman who later in life would be worshipped, but she could not be worshipped because she was one who spoke of God as being my Savior. Think of this one that is dear to the Savior, and there is only one into whose hands he can entrust his mother, not his own half-brothers after the flesh. Remember that. Only this disciple whom Jesus loved. And so I say, if God loves you, he will entrust to you things that are dear and of great value to him. But I'm wondering, with what can Jesus Christ trust you? He said to Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Can he entrust the people of God to you? Tell me, what have you done for the people of God lately? Have you been feeding the people of God? You've been concerned about them? You've been interceding for them at the throne of grace? Can he trust the people of God into your hands? You say, perhaps I'm remiss on that point. Why, that shows, you see. If you love the Lord Jesus, he will love you, and he will entrust things into your hands. It speaks about riches. Can he trust you with riches? Can he trust you with his mother, something that is dear and precious to him? Can he trust you with the Word of God? Can he trust you with the people of God? You say, I do not know. Then all of these are tests. Because if you pass those tests, then the Lord Jesus will place in your hands all of these responsibilities. Because being loved by the Lord Jesus and loving the Lord Jesus involves more than an inward feeling of sentimentality. And so from all of these scriptures that I've shown you, there is realism. There are tangible things attached with being loved and loving the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus now will trust you if you love him. Because if he loves you, as in the case of his mother and the disciple whom he loved, he told the Lord Jesus, take my mother home. Take her into your care. And so he did. But I don't want to be bothered with caring for a widow woman. Do you? Who wants to have a woman around and you have to listen to her, you have to attend to her needs? Who wants that woman around? For the Lord Jesus said, I want you to take my mother, and I want you to take care of her. And he knew that John would do it because John loved the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus loved John. You see, that's why he can't entrust certain things into your care. He tries to give you a responsibility, but you say, suffer me first. Son, go work today. I will not go. You see, that's why. And so you're saying, I love the Lord Jesus. You're saying one thing, but your actions are telling me another. And when Peter boasted, yes, I love you, he found out he did not. But then he did say, Lord, I love you. The Savior said, then show me. Show that you love me by feeding my sheep. You understand that? You must show the love of the Lord Jesus outwardly. That's the only thing that counts. And so look at yourself as a Christian. And see if the Lord Jesus can trust you with anything. Can he trust you with riches? What have you done with your money? Can he trust you with the Word of God? What do you know about it? Do you even come out to all the meetings to learn the Word of God? If you had come out, you would know ever so much. You would be grounded in the truth. But if you just come out on occasion, then how can he trust you with the Word? And yet you are ready to defend what you believe, but you haven't even heard what the Word of God says. It said that the early Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching from this inspired book as it is now. But he can't trust you with that because you do not love the Word. You do not love him. You love fellowship with the people of God. Why, will you be faithful at all the meetings or will you forsake the assembling of ourselves together? That's why Christ can't trust you. And that's why if you say, I love Jesus, Jesus would say, you love me? Well, I'll believe you. He doesn't say it that way. You love me? He says, show me, feed my sheep. And so you say you love the Lord Jesus, show me. That's all you have to do. Show me by your actions that you love the Lord Jesus, and then you will not have to tell me. I will know. You will not have to come up and say, I love the Lord Jesus. If you start to say it, I will say, you do not have to tell me. Your actions show that you love the Lord Jesus. And so when the person says, I love you, God is my Father, the Lord Jesus says, if God were your Father, you would love me. He does not deny. He simply says, if God were, you will behave this way. And so all of these professions that you've made concerning love and salvation, the Savior puts them to the test. He says, you love me? You do? Then you'll take care of the people of God. You love me? Then I will place tedious responsibilities into your hands. You can handle delicate situations by keeping my mother. And all of those things we say, I do not want such involvement. I do not want such responsibilities. Someone comes knocking on your door at midnight, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And you say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. The Lord Jesus says, you love me. You care for the people of God. That's why when I ask you about the certainty of your love, I say it is uncertain. The certainty of Jesus' love, why, it is undeniable. The love of God for you, undeniable. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Christ showed his love by dying on the cross. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And the Lord Jesus laid down his life for you who are his enemy. And so you cannot deny Christ's love. The certainty of Christ's love, the uncertainty of the love of men for Jesus. And so the Lord says, you had better examine yourself for this reason. If you do not love my son, you are going to be accursed. Do you realize that? That's what it says in the book of Corinthians. It says, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Why? For this reason. God is not taking good people to heaven. He is taking sinners who have been born again to heaven. All of us are sinners. But at the same time, when the Spirit of God draws a man and shows a man something of truth and beauty and light, then that man must say yes. If he says no, then he is going to be under a curse. That we're all accursed. The wrath of God abides upon us is one thing, but when the Father draws men to Christ, then, if there is a desire in you to be like him, then you will be blessed. But if you find no beauty in him that you should desire him, and that is your final decision, then God says, let him be accursed. Eternal separation from God and heaven and light. Why? Because I set my son before you, and you said, no. Do you love the Lord Jesus? That is why God condemns all to hell who will not have his son as Savior. Because the Lord Jesus is the embodiment of that which is good and pure and holy and lovely. All that is of any value is to be found embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And now, God sets his son before you and he says, will you love my son? And if you respond when the Spirit of God draws you and you say, yes, I love him. I take him as my Savior. Then all is well. And God says, prove it. Continue to prove it by your actions. No doubt that Jesus loves you. But the question is, do you love Jesus? Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that among a world filled with uncertainties, we know that Jesus loves sinners. We are thankful that he will receive all who come unto him. And so may some who have examined their hearts and realize, I have nothing but a physical descent from Christian parents. All I have is a physical association with some fundamental group. I know the Bible, but I have not been born again. Let them, Father, realizing this, trust the Lord Jesus as Savior, and let them, because you first loved them, love him and love the people of God. Thou canst do this, and so work in their hearts. And for us who are Christians, who boast so much about Jesus' love for us, let us, by thy Spirit and by thy grace, Father, grow, and let us soon be enabled of God to love Jesus more, and to show it by being entrusted with true riches from his hand. Thou dost know all that's needed. It takes a miracle to accomplish it, and that's why we cast it upon thee. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.